Hey, it's Sean here from the Commander's Brew, you know, but before I get started on things, I have a very special announcement to make. Mark it in your calendars, July the 12th. That's going to be a Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to be doing a live box opening of Double Masters, and me and everybody in chat are going to get together and brew a deck using as many of the cards in there as possible. It's a live box opening and brew session. I hope to see you there. It will be available in video format if you can't be there at that time, but I'd love to see you in the chat there suggesting what you would do with the cards I open. And it's Double Masters. There's some really cool stuff in there. Looking at you, Dockside Extortionist. And the box I'm opening comes courtesy of the Wizards Tower, wizardtower.com. Check them out. And that's not the only special announcement I have to make. I've got a brand new sponsor. A little bit of intrigue about it. The deal was very good. And as such, I wasn't allowed to know all of the details of who's sponsoring me. But I'm proud to announce my partnership with Dark Steel Industries. They're a mega corporation from the world of magic. And I mean, I don't know what I did to get into their radar, but I'm very pleased to be working with them. Again, I had to sign some papers, so I'm not entirely sure of the entirety of our detail. But the deal was too good. I couldn't pass it up, even by not knowing everything. So I'm excited to see what their influence will do to the show. You can count on it being still the show you love. I'll still bring you some cool deck techs. I'll still have a lot of fun with brews, a lot of laughs here and there. I'm still always going to thank you for listening. Thank you for watching on YouTube, liking and subscribing. Patreon.com/Commander's Brew is the best way to help out the show if you want. So I do also want to say that you can support by following the TCG player link in the show notes or by going to the Wizard Tower, wizardtower.com, if you're in Canada. But I guess this next part will be created by Dark Steel Industries. They've asked me to put in the ad for the Wizard's Tower and another company that I actually don't know a lot about. I'm assuming it's a subsidiary of them. That's the one thing I do know. Whenever you hear a company that you are not very familiar with, it's probably a subsidiary of Dark Steel Industries. Anyway, let's hear those ads now.
Are you tired of your gates being the wrong gates? Well, sign up for Dark Steel VGN, Virtual Gate Network, so you can privately have your gates be any other gates you want. Do you live near Cliffgate? Now you can say you live near Azorius Guildgate. Do you live near Baldur's Gate? Well, now you can say that your address is Heapgate. And you can also watch Professor Hume in South Amonkhet, even if you don't live anywhere near there. Dark Steel VGN, your privacy is important. And now the real ad. For the Wizard's Tower, wizardtower.com. Our Canadian viewers get a special deal with coupon code BREWBALDERS. That's 5% off singles when you spend $20 or more at the Wizard Tower, wizardtower.com. Also go to wizardtower.com for magic content, deck lists, articles, that sort of thing. This was the real ad. Now back to the show.
Okay, that sounded interesting. I'm sure that will continue. I'm excited about it, and I hope that will always be normal and it won't ever get too weird. Because as a reminder, I did sign some papers and we're stuck with this for quite some time. I mean, if I want to break this contract, dire consequences. Anyway, I want to just have a quick opening chat before we get to the deck tech about the influx of sets we've had recently. I'm not going to go too deep on the sheer quantity of cards. I think I read somewhere on social media that there's like 8,000 cards coming out this year. Like 2022, which is ludicrous. I mean, I know I try to do a set review on all the new sets, and I certainly don't touch on all the cards. I touch on all of the legendaries, of course. That's what we're interested in as commander players, but I'm not able to, like, I think I read all the cards, I think, but I go quick sometimes, and if it doesn't stand out, I mean, I skim the commons and uncommons for the most part, except for the one mana ones, and that's why I definitely read all the one mana spells, because there's often some gems hidden in there, but, like, it's tons, and we're going to new worlds all the time. We've got like a Warhammer world. We're going to Warhammer world, so I wanted to spend a second and just kind of let's open up the scope and I've been thinking about other things we could do with sets and where can we go? I now that we're kind of not restricted, like we've got that 1920s Americana type of thing with Nuka Penna, the sky's the limit. And I think one theme that we've not explored yet is just the Wild West, the American Wild West. I mean, you don't have to, you obviously wouldn't set it in America. You would just make it a fictional land, but you could have like pistols and like body armor looking for treasure. I guess Ixalan, now that I'm describing it, Ixalan has a little bit of that flavor with like, they had sort of like the Incan pirate ship type of thing, but you could do the same thing. Like maybe there's a bunch of elves who like live someplace and a bunch of people come in. I don't know. I guess it could get a bit dicey when you think about like the colonization of everything like that. But that's not the only, I think, I also think it would be really cool to see like a classic movie monster one, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, like legendary monsters from a commander's point of view. That could be pretty cool. Again, I realize this also steps on the toes of Innistrad. So one of those ideas was kind of Ixalan. This idea is a little bit of Innistrad because they try to fit in Frankensteins and Draculas and ghosts, things like that. I guess now that I'm thinking about it, all these ideas kind of have been done. We had the fairy tale world and giant monster world. I mean, I guess one of the only places they can do next is just kind of regular boring world. Like, could they do that? Could we get a set where like the legendaries are just kind of regular people? I mean, even now that I'm talking about it, New Capenna had an editor of a newspaper, and I don't know if it gets much more ordinary than that. These five families vying for things. Jeez. You know, I thought I had a couple of good ideas going into this, but now that I'm talking them through, I'm not a fan of these ideas anymore. Maybe. Okay, last one. Okay, I think this one's what about a world that's like an underworld Battle of the Bands type of scenario, like an underworld, like rock and roll festival, Battle of the Bands, different colors are trying to do different things. Maybe like white green, maybe the white green are the people who are like trying to set up like tables where you can buy like scented oils and stuff like that. Maybe there's like a bit of a Burning Man angle. That's obviously Rakdos. You could, the actual Battle of the Band, every color would have instruments. I think that, has that been done yet? I don't think so. I think that's got legs. Okay. That's my pitch. I guess now, as I'm going to put a bow on this discussion here, the irony of a calling it a discussion when it's just me talking is not lost on me. I think I'm going to, this is my pitch. So I'm going to, if Wizards ever comes around and says, hey, who's got cool ideas? If you want to come do some world building for us, put a pitch package together. I'm just going to wrap up this preamble to the deck tech of this episode. What episode are we on? 383. I'm bad with numbers, folks. It's hard for me to think about what number I'm on until I'm in there. 352? I think it's 352. It doesn't really matter what number it is. I'll find the right one, trust me, and I'll get it to them. And then, who knows, maybe in 3 short years is how long it takes to develop, y'all can tell me how bad the white cards are from this Battle of the Bands from an underworld perspective. Could be cool. Anyway, I won't take up any more time on this banter. Let's get to the deck tech. Okay, we're doing Is It Dragons? This has got to be connected to a tribal deck. I mean, how many dragons do you want to put until it's a tribal deck? I think if it's in the title, that's where we're going. But I'm not going to lock in the number of dragons yet. You'll see why in a minute. The first topic I want to cover is kind of like the minimum cards you're always going to want to use in a Dragons tribal deck specifically. There's just like a handful of cards that I think every one of these decks will probably want unless you take some wild curveballs here. Dragon Tempest. It's that 2-minute enchantment, 1 and a red. Whenever a creature with flying enters the battlefield, it gains haste until end of turn. And whenever a dragon enters under your control, it deals X damage to target creature or player, where X is the number of dragons you control. Creature or player, this is potentially a kill spell. Once we've got a pretty big board of dragons, we're going to want lots of dragons, and we're going to want some small ones so that we can get them out early. Having haste is fantastic too. We also probably want to run an artifact Dragon's Horde. In your classic 3-mana artifacts that add some sort of ability to them. This one is a 3-mana Tabs Freddy color, but whenever a dragon comes in, you put a gold counter on it and you remove a gold counter to draw a card. This becomes card draw if we don't need the mana later on. Very nice. Haven of the Spirit Dragon is a land that taps for colorless or a mana of any color only to cast a dragon creature spell. Now, that's not just basically a dual land, right? Like, we might want to run a dual land otherwise. However, this also has 2 tap, sack this, return target dragon card or Ugin Planeswalker card from your graveyard to your hand. So get us a dragon back late game if we don't need it. Crucible of Fire, I think, is an enchantment that's worth running. It's 3 and a red for an enchantment. Dragon creatures you control get +3/+3. Just make the team huge. Is it necessary? It depends. If we've got a lot of little dragon tokens, that's the thing I will touch on later on. There are a lot more ways to make little dragons now, so pumping them by +3/+3 could be a big deal. Of course, if we're already dropping 7/7s, maybe we don't need the 3/3. Crucible of the Spirit Dragon is another land that is interesting. It taps for colorless, but you can pay 1 tap, put a storage counter on this, and then tap to remove X, spend X any way you want for dragons or dragon abilities. I think there is always room for a couple of colorless lands, and this is one I'd like to include. Sarkhan's Triumph, simple, 2 and a red instant, search for a dragon creature card, put it in your hand, and then shuffle. I like that. I love that it's instant. We can do it at end of turn. A relatively new one is Orb of Dragonkind from AFR. 1 and a red for an artifact, and it's got 2 abilities. Colorless, like 1 generic and tap, add 2 mana only for dragon spells or dragon abilities. So that's kind of a mana ramp spell for dragons specifically. Or red, tap, sack this, look at the top 7 cards of your library, reveal a dragon, put it into your hand. The rest go on the bottom. Not bad. And finally, I think this one is you're probably going to want to consider in most Is It Dragon decks, Dragon Shift. It's 1 blue red, it's an instant. Until end of turn, target creature you control becomes a 4/4 blue and red dragon, loses all abilities and gains flying. Depending on how you go, if we've got a lot of little things, a lot of extra support creatures, this also overloads for, 7 mana. 3 blue, blue, red, red turns all of your creatures into 4/4 flying dragons. Pretty good. You evaluate whether or not we want to have that effect, whether or not that's better or worse than all the dragons we have. But all the cards I mentioned come to less than $13. The big one is Dragon Tempest. That's like a $7 card, a couple bucks for the Orb of Dragonkin, Crucible of Fire. So not bad. So we've touched on some kind of staple-ish cards for the deck. Let's talk about some dragons. It's a dragon deck. We got to have some dragons. Here are the top dragons that are less than $10. I'm starting with the cheap ones. Steel Hellkite. It's a 6 colorless for a dragon. It flies, obviously, 5/5. You can pay 2 generic to give it +1/+0. It's like fire breathing, but it doesn't have to be fire. It could be island breathing because it gets bigger. But the key ability is after it connects, you pay X. X is allowed to be 0. Destroy each non-land permanent with mana value X whose controller was dealt combat damage by Steel Hellkite this turn. Only once a turn. So that's pretty nice. It kills all tokens for no mana. Unless the tokens are copies with mana values. You know what I mean. Hellkite Tyrant, I think, is another interesting include. It's a 6 mana dragon, 6/5 flying trample. But whenever it deals combat damage to a player, gain control of all artifacts that player controls. That's very big. That effect doesn't say while Hellkite Tyrant is around. That's a permanent control change. So, you know, I love this with Dragon Tempest, where we can maybe have haste on this thing, and then it connects, you steal all the artifacts, a bunch of mana ramp. If you have 20 or more artifacts in your upkeep, you win the game. I don't know how likely that is, because your opponents shouldn't let you do that. And you'll never steal a ton of treasures, because your opponents will just sack them in response, like, we'll use mana, use them up. But you'll get a bunch of mana rocks, I imagine, maybe some equipment. That's kind of nice. I think it's worth looking at Niv-Mizzet Perun. This is the one without any generic mana. Blue, 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 red, red, red. Can't be countered. 5/5 flying. And whenever you draw a card, it deals 1 damage wherever. And whenever anyone casts an instant or sorcery, you draw a card, which will trigger the 1 damage. So that's pretty good too. I want to include Dracuseff, Maw of Flames. This card is a 150. 7 mana, 4 red, red, red. 7/7 flying dragon. The key here is whenever Dracuseth attacks, you do 7 damage. 4 to any target, 3 to any other target, and 3 to another target still. You have to divide it up into 3, but that's pretty cool anyway. I think I'd rather divide it up. It's interesting because you do have to divide it up. You can't kill something with 7 toughness, but I like the ability to kill more things. I feel like that's going to be better most of the time. And finally, Lathless, Dragon Queen. It's a 6-mana 6/6 with flying, of course. Fire breathing for the whole dragon team. 1 and a red. Dragons you control get +1/+0 till end of turn. That's excellent. But also, whenever a non-token dragon enters under your control, create a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying. With Dragon Tempest out, that's incredible because they'll all have haste. You'll do extra damage that way. I love it. Okay, thank you. This has been the kind of base. This is the foundation. Some of these dragons are pretty cheap. There's some great cards in there, but I haven't talked about the commander yet on purpose. Who is the commander? We've got some nice little combos in the background thing, and that's where I'd like to look first. So I want to look at a blue monocolored legendary creature. This is Renari, Merchant of Marvels. 3 and a blue for a 2/4 dragon artificer, counts as a dragon, and you may cast dragon spells and artifact spells as though they had flash. Great. Our dragons have flash now with this out, and we get to choose a background, and I think the best red background to go with them is Dragon Cultist. So Renari, the Merchant of Marvels, is a dragon cultist by night. 4 and a red background. Commander creatures you own have... At the beginning of your end step, if a source you control dealt 5 or more damage, create a 4/4 dragon creature token. Okay, we got to do 5 damage this way, but I don't think that's hard. It's a way to get extra dragon tokens. Big fan. There's our Izzet combo. Having Renari out, it's like an extra copy in Dragon Tempest in that we can sort of give our dragons haste, you know, by holding our mana open, casting them at the end step of the player before us, we get to attack right away. So having, but see, now think about it this way. If we're going to be holding up a bunch of mana as well to cast these dragons, that leaves us a lot more room for instants and sorceries. Think back to Niv-Mizzet Perun. Casting instants and sorceries does draw us more cards. It keeps things going. So if we're going to think about it that way, then I think we have to consider something like Mirror Wing Dragon. 3 red red, it's a 4/5 flying dragon, and whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery that targets only Mirror Wing Dragon, that player copies that spell for each other creature he or she controls that spell could target. Each copy targets a different one of those creatures. So it's this is kind of like the Zada effect, where I can cast a cool pump spell on my Mirror Wing Dragon, and then that will also apply to all of my other dragons, all of my other creatures. The way it's worded, though, your opponents can do something to Mirror Wing. However, they can't destroy it with like a kill spell, because just the way it's worded, whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery that targets only Mirror Wing Dragon. So if they cast like an abrupt decay wouldn't work, some kind of spell like a putrefy on Mirror Wing Dragon, that player copies that spell for each other creature he or they control. So you'll just end up destroying your whole board as well. So it's like, you know, Swords to Plowshares. You've now Swords to Plowshared your whole team. Gain a lot of life that way if that's what you're looking to do. Anyway, Mirror Wing Dragon, I think, has a spot if you're looking to lean instants and sorceries. And if that's the case, so does Maniform Hellkite. 2 red red for a dragon. It's flying. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you create an XX red dragon illusion creature token with flying and haste, where X is the mana value of that spell. It does say the amount of mana spent to cast that spell. I shortcutted it in my brain, but it is different. If you're delving, you haven't spent a ton of mana on something. Maniform Hellkite. Doing the cheap thing, man, Wizards designers, I'm disappointed in you. You could have just said mana value so that we could, you know, play big delve spells for 1 mana, but get a 7/7 dragon. Is that so bad? You had to take that away from us. I'm on a soapbox here, but this is really a pet peeve of mine when they like nerf a card in a seemingly unnecessary way. I have to give them credit. There have been a lot of instances going the other way lately where they'll design a creature that lets us do the fun thing, even though they could have kind of cut it off. I have to assume there's some sort of inset combo that they don't want to have happen. I'll trust that they did this for a reason. I have to. But anyway, we get a dragon when we cast spells, and that token will be exiled at the beginning of the next end step. Cool. Then I think Smoldering Egg looks pretty interesting. It's a 2-mana dragon egg defender, but whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you put ember counters equal to the mana value. No, the mana spent again. Anyway, if Smoldering Egg has 7 or more ember counters on it, remove them and transform it into Ashmouth Dragon. It's a flying 4/4, and whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, it deals 2 damage to any target. I think that's pretty nice. And then, of course, Sprite Dragon is a blue-red fairy dragon, 1/1 flying haste, and whenever you cast non-creature spells, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. Gets pretty big. So I told you, we're thinking about holding up mana. We're thinking about giving our dragons haste. Obviously, there's room for counter spells in here if we want to go that route as well. You probably should. But we're going to want dragons that attack really well. I mentioned Dracuseth Maw of Flames flinging 4/3/3 damage around. If you got the money, Utvara Hellkite's one of the best. It's an 8-mana flying 6/6 dragon. 6 red. In real life, this is like a $20 card, but whenever a dragon you control attacks, create a 6/6 red dragon creature token with flying. So if you've got Dragon Tempest out, something like that, it's just going to be, you're going to get so much value. You could just win the game if that happens. So I can see why it's so much. And another creature that we want to pretend has haste, sort of, is Hellkite Charger. It's the 6-mana dragon, 5/5, flying haste. And whenever this attacks, you can pay 7 mana. And if you do, untap all of your attacking creatures and get an additional combat phase. These are where all those cards were. You can only spend the mana on dragon abilities. This is the ability I'm thinking of. And this is key. Like, Dragon Tempest doesn't work with this one. You pay 6. Of course, it has haste. I mean, it already has haste, so it doesn't work on that regard. But we want to be able to have that mana open. It's more important that we get to attack with the 7 mana rather than be able to cast it and attack the same turn we cast it. I mean, if we've got the mana, sure, that's fine. So speaking of mana, Here's the other brew. So that's a little bit of a spell brew. I don't mind that one, but I don't love that one. What I'd rather do with this is just lean into the treasures. Dragons love treasures. So instead of those background and commander, you know what I mean? Instead, let's make the main commander Ganax Astral Hunter. This is the 5-mana legendary dragon, 4 and a red, 3/4 with flying. Whenever Ganax or another dragon enters the battlefield under your control, create a treasure token. Okay, dragons love treasures. I love treasures. Let's get more treasures. So we got to have a blue background, and I think the best one for this is 2 and a blue for Feywild Visitor. It's a background that says commander creatures you own have, whenever 1 or more non-token creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, you create a 1/1 blue fairy dragon creature token with flying. Great. This is great for our dragon count, for cards that care about that. It is an attacking dragon for things that trigger that way. Lathless can pump up these little things too. We only get 1 per turn, so whenever 1 or more non-token creatures, so it's not just a ton of them, but still, I'll take it. And when that thing enters, that counts as a treasure token with Ganax, because that's a dragon entering the battlefield. Great. So I love making treasures, and one way I like to do that is Trove of Temptation. It's a 3 and a red enchantment. It's a little bit of it kind of bites you in the butt sometimes. So each opponent must attack you or a planeswalker you control with at least 1 creature if able. Hopefully we can put down a defense with our massive dragons, but this can get tricky if you take away the decision from your opponents. They just get to attack and be like, well, I have to attack. What else am I going to do? At the beginning of your end step, however, you create 1 treasure token. Excellent. I do think that this card is it's questionable. You decide if you want it, but I think it's better if we run Slumbering Dragon. This is the single mana dragon. It's a 3/3 with flying. Can't attack or block unless it has five or more +1/+1 counters on it. And whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, you put that counter on it. It's just going to grow huge. Your opponent's kind of, that's a double-edged sword. Like, they have to attack you, but they don't really want to attack you. If you get Slumbering Dragon without the Trove of Temptation, that's pretty good too. It's just, they kind of have to avoid attacking you. Because once this thing has five or more counters, this is an 8/8. It's a flying 8/8 that keeps growing that costs you one mana. Can't be denied. So obviously, if we're leaning on treasures, we're going to want Zorn. 2 in a red for the elemental, 3/2. If you would create one or more treasures, create that many, +1. Love it. I mean, we're going to want a gold span dragon, but this is expensive. This is a $25 card in real human dollars, American specifically. 3 red dragon flying haste, 4/4. When it attacks or becomes the target of a spell, you make a treasure token and all your treasures tap for double. That's why this card is so expensive. If it just made a treasure, it would be like a fancy Captain Lannery Storm. But this thing makes your treasures tap for 2, which is excellent. This is probably worth running. I mean, now you put that with Hellkite Charger, you're making more treasures. You're able to pay the 7 mana much easier to get more combat steps, which will get you more treasures. This might be the combo finisher. So consider it for sure. If you got one, a new tool we got for this sort of thing is a Professional Phasebreaker. It's in the family of Lannery Storms in that it is not a dragon. 2 in a red, human warrior, 2/3 menace. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. But you also get to sacrifice a treasure to exile the top card of your library, and you can play it this turn. Not bad. I've been saving the best for last in this family of non-dragon treasure makers, and that's Magda, Brazen Outlaw. Magda is perfect for this deck. 1 and a red, legendary dwarf berserker, 2/1, other dwarves get bigger, don't care. Whenever a dwarf you control becomes tapped, create a treasure token. Okay, fine, that's when Magda gets tapped. But the key here is sacrifice 5 treasures, search your library for an artifact or a dragon card, put that card onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. Fantastic. And then you gotta put in Reign of Riches. This is a cool new card from the new Capenna Commander decks. It's a 5 mana enchantment, 3 red. When it comes in, you make 2 treasure tokens. And here's the fun part. The first spell you cast each turn that had mana from a treasure used on it has Cascade. We're casting big things. We're using big dragons. So we will Cascade for sure into some potentially other big fun stuff. This card is great. Big fan of the card. I think I would run this in either version, even if we're the like really treasury version. But even if we're sort of the instant version, I like this too, because we get to do this on each turn, the first one each turn. So, well, now that I'm saying it out loud, though, if you are 2 instant speed and you have a lot of counter spells, then you don't want a ton of cascade. It sucks to cascade into a counter spell. So you just got to make sure your counter spells are a little bit more expensive, right? Okay, so dragons are great. Here is the secret twist of the deck, which is not a secret if you looked at the title of this episode, and that is this is a secret Bruticlad deck. We've got a lot more cool new tools, and I think it's worth revisiting. I think the dragon front is a nice way to like maybe lull your opponents into a false sense of security on that. Bruticlad, FYI, is a 6 mana artificer, 4 blue red for a legendary artifact creature, Phyrexian Artificer, 4/4. Creature tokens you control have haste. That's great. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, you make a 2/1 blue mirror artifact creature token. Then choose a token you control. If you do, each other token you control becomes a copy of that token. This is our way to upgrade so many things all at once. Treasures are the best for this because we can pump out treasures at a massive speed, tons at a time, and being able to upgrade all of them to massive dragon tokens, even if they're just 4/4s that fly, they will have haste because of what Bruticlad does. That's incredible. And here's the thing I love the most. This is very minor, but Bruticlad was changed to be a Phyrexian Artificer. And lately, if you're paying attention to the sets, there's been a Phyrexian showing up at all these places, right? New Capenna, what is it? Is it Urabrask shows up in New Capenna randomly? We had Jin Gitaxis show up on Kamigawa. Well, this is our version. This is our AFR version, and Bruticlad is the one who shows up here. I love it. I love that too. Let me rewind 2 seconds too. Magda searches up a dragon or an artifact. This thing's an artifact creature, so this Magda can get this. Magda is so good in this secret Bruticlad deck. In addition, we have a new card, Artificer's Class. Comes from the Commander Legends Baldur's Gate sets. It's a 2-mana enchantment. It's a class. The first artifact spell you cast each turn costs 1 less. So that may not be great. But we're interested in the level 2, 1 and a blue. When this class becomes level 2, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal an artifact card. That goes in your hand and the rest go on the bottom. If Bruticlad's our only artifact, which is possible, then we'd absolutely lose out on that first ability. But the second ability guarantees Bruticlad comes into our hand. Is that worth it? You tell me. I think it's worth it. And now that we're doing that, if we're thinking about a Bruticlad deck, it's worth looking at Elminster's Simulacrum. 4 blue-blue for an instant, and for each opponent, create a token that's a copy of up to 1 target creature that player controls. So this gives us more token creatures to be able to copy with Bruticlad. Again, need I remind you, we're gonna take like a handful of treasures and make them into something. So that's how we're going to choose who we're going to make a token copy of. What creature is best at becoming multiplied? Maybe there's an attack trigger or something like that. Jaxus the Troublemaker is a new tool that I think is very cool with Bruticlad. 3 and a red for a legendary human warrior. It's a 2/3. It's from New Capenna. Jaxus can be blitzed out, so that's fine. I'm not really so interested in doing that. I mean, maybe we do that for 2 mana if we can already make that happen. But the key is, I guess we would blitz so that we can use the ability right away. So the ability is red tap, discard a card, create a token that's a copy of another target creature you control, and it sort of becomes blitz because when it dies, you draw a card, which is nice. Activate only as a sorcery, fine. But this is the key. There's another way to get a token copy of an interesting creature. And I'm talking about all of these in the context of Bruticlad, but I want to assure you that these cards work without Bruticlad. I am happy to have another copy of a Goldspan Dragon to make an extra treasure. An extra copy of a Dracuseth is incredible, throwing even more damage out there. Of course, the ultimate is to use Bruticlad to make a dozen Dracusets and just flinging enough damage around to kill everybody. That's the best move. I want to mention Irenicus's Vile Duplication. It's a 4-mana sorcery that makes a token copy of target creature you control, except the token has flying and it isn't legendary. That's very cool. It's a 4-mana sorcery. So again, 4 mana to make another Dracuseth is pretty good. But also the thing is not legendary anymore. So we could make something like a Lathless or like another Magda. Well, I guess Magda doesn't work that great. Heck, let's make another Bruticlad to make extra things like that. It's very cool to me that it's not legendary. And once you make the first copy that isn't legendary, you can make all of the other copies of it. You can turn everything into that and it's fine because it's not legendary. I love that. Mirage Phalanx. This is 4 red-red for a human soldier. It's 4/4 with soul bond. And as long as it's paired with a creature, each of the creatures has, at the beginning of combat on your turn, create a token that's a copy of this creature, except it has haste and loses soul bond. Exile it at the end of combat. So it's a great way to get extra copies of dragons that we can also turn into Bruticlad copies. And then Fable of the Mirror Breaker is a great enchantment we got out of Neo. So it's a saga. It's 2 and a red, and the first chapter is make a 2/2 goblin shaman that attacks and makes treasure tokens. Right away, that works in the deck. I'm happy to have that. Number 2, discard 2 cards, draw 2 cards. Fine. Number 3, though, exile it and return it as a little bit of a Kiki Jiki. The name is Reflection of Kiki Jiki. So it's a 2/2 that has 1 tap, create a token that's a copy of another non-legendary. It has haste, you sacrifice it. But again, here's another way for us to get a token copy for Brutaclad to just populate everything with. I do think a secret Brutaclad deck got so many more cool, like so many cool upgrades, so many cool ways to make token copies of things. I mentioned the spell version and maybe we're holding up mana for counter spells. I mentioned how that doesn't work well with Cascade. But then I just want to bring up, we have a new counter spell. It's a 5 mana. It's called Access Denied, 3 blue instant counter target spell, and create X11 Thopter artifact creature tokens with flying, where X is the mana value. This is very similar to Spell Swindle, except instead of getting Thopters for the mana value, you get treasures for the mana value. Run one, run both. Which one do you like? Either way, these cards can potentially make a ton of tokens, which is great for Brutaclad, which is great for other things. I mean, Access Denied, that's a lot of evasion in the air, a lot of chump blockers if you need it. Spell Swindle's just a, you get your mana back usually in treasure, so I love that one too. Now the card's creeping up in value too. It's a couple bucks now. I'm not surprised. And I just want to highlight another excellent dragon that's worth copying with Brutaclad. I think Nesting Dragon is fantastic. 3 red for a flying 5/4. It's over 10 bucks, but it has landfall. So whenever a land enters the battlefield, you create a 0/2 dragon egg. And when the dragon egg dies, it becomes a 2/2 dragon with flying and fire breathing. I would love to see the world where I have a non-token copy of Nesting Dragon, and then I Brutaclad like 20 of these, play one land and make 20 eggs. So now I'm wrath proof. If you wrath, all those eggs die and I get more dragons. I guess Brutaclad's dead too, but I have a bunch of dragons. That's fine. I also, if I make it to the next turn, now I have extra tokens to do stuff with. Maybe I'll drop a land, make even more eggs, then go into my combat step and I don't know, make my mirror. Maybe I want to make my 2/1 mirrors. Maybe that's enough. I don't know. Very fun. Very fun. And I have to leave you with Terror of the Peaks. This is the most expensive card right now that I've talked about. Goldspan Dragon is like sort of tied with it. It's about $25, but it's good. It's a 3 red for a dragon. It's a 5/4 with flying. Your opponents, if they target it with spells, they have to pay 3 life. I guess it's not templated to say word pay 3 life. Spells your opponents cast at target, I guess because it's not abilities, they can use abilities. All right, but the key here is it's Warstorm Surge. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, Terror of the Peaks deals damage equal to that creature's power to any target. Great for all these big dragons entering the battlefield. Even if we make a bunch of them with Brutaclad, it is worth mentioning that they do not enter when Brutaclad transforms them. However, all we got to do is drop one more creature after that, and like we'll just have all these damage triggers just flying off the stack, hopefully winning the game. And I'm imagining they'll have haste too, because Brutaclad gives the token copies haste. Ugh, fun. This was fun. Anyway. How do you balance a deck like this? I'll leave it to you. Maybe do you go the spell option? Like, the spell option sounds exciting because we can, knowing it's a secret Brutaclad though, we're going to want to put more of those, like when you cast a spell, make a little flying creature token, because that's more tokens for Brutaclad and that's fantastic. But then, you know, you're going to want more cantrips because you want volume of spells as opposed to like just specific mana values. And now we're kind of painting a picture where that deck wants to lean towards a classic Spells Matters Brutaclad type deck. And I don't know if that's the spirit I want for this. So I think figuring that out, I think I've decided I will go back to the treasure heavy version. That means Ganax and Feywild Visitor. That's my combo for this particular deck. But yeah, if you have a different angle for an Izzet Dragon deck, please let me know. I'd love to hear it. This has been fun though. See you next time with another deck. We'll see where we're going to brew around. And of course, as always, keep being you. The world is a better place for it. See you next time.